Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have an amazing guest. Gracie Carley is here.
Hey. Thanks Not for here. Having me.
Yeah. But hi.
How are you?
I mean, you know, life's an interesting journey, trying to find my peace amongst the chaos. What can you do? How about you?
Longest episode of the Twilight Zone ever, but yeah, just bizarro world right now, but happy to at least be able to chat with people. So that's good.
Yeah.
We still have the internet.
There's that. We still have the internet. And I feel like being plunged so deep into the unknown is what we're supposed to be going through right now, as horrible as a lot of it is. So
I feel like everybody has just been sent to their room to deal with the things they've been avoiding their whole life. Like, just to think about what they've done.
That's hilarious.
That's why everyone's freaking out a little bit.
I love that. It's a timeout from the universe. A spiritual timeout. Yeah.
For sure.
Okay. So let's get into Kanye West is running for president. On the birthday party is what he called it, which honestly is hilarious. That's very catchy. Birthday party. Okay. And I watched a little bit of his speech. Did you see any of it by any chance?
I did. I saw the rant. I saw his tweets.
Yeah. What'd you think of, because we'll get into the tweets that just happened. But what did you think of just the speech itself about Harriet Tubman, and went into how Kim got pregnant. He initially wanted to have an abortion, and he's so glad that he didn't, that they didn't, because North wouldn't have been born, and that his dad wanted his mom to have an abortion, so he wouldn't have been born. So what did you think of it?
Oh, I mean, I think I had, you know, an initial knee-jerk reaction like everybody else, is just, this is so bizarre and we're desperate for something coherent right now. So it was like, you know, a little bit of a disaster to watch. But then, you know, I saw a lot of people post like, you don't understand what he was saying about agriculture. You have to watch the whole thing. And I watched the whole thing and I'm like, you know what? He might, you know, he's obviously a very talented and brilliant person, but we're desperate for something just, you know, not full of senility, and we need something just a little bit more graspable. So it's a little scary that there's people going for this right now. The bit about the abortion, that was just like, that was his Oscar moment. And I'm not saying it was faking it. It was just so epic, but it was, Lord, I mean, it makes the tweets he sent later about his wife, like, you know, wanting to skedat, make a little bit more sense, because it's just, it sounds like he's, you know, I mean, every time I hear him talk, it's like, okay, I think he's officially lost it now. But it keeps going. So it's kind of, I'm impressed at this point. It's still just like a ride we can't all get off of. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, he's clearly a genius, which you stated, right?
Yeah,
he's a brilliant artist, musician, and he's got a lot going on in his system, you know, coming through him at all times. When I saw the speech, I was a bit turned off from it. Not that I completely disagreed with the things he was saying. And I watched more, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I did watch more of what he meant by the Harriet Tubman rant.
Right.
And he wasn't saying that. I mean, he did kind of like take away some of her credit, but he was explaining it more in detail of, because they ended up working for the white man still once again, is what he was trying to get at, and compare it to today, which, you know, Black people are still in many ways enslaved to a system that does not work for them, you know? And I think right. that's what he was trying to say, but like you said, it wasn't very coherent.
It wasn't very clear. And it did take, like, it took me some digging to like get to, you know, what he actually meant. And then I'm like, okay, I get what he's trying to say here. He's obviously not of the capability to explain it in a way we all need, but I get it. The intention is kind and, you know, brilliant in a way, but yeah, I mean, he's right. But yeah, oh, geez, I don't, it's like really hard for me to, I try not to form a hard opinion on anything or anyone really until I have like all the information. I still feel like Kanye is somebody I don't know well enough. Like I've just seen like crazy speeches. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, he's clearly not, you know, he's kind of mentally unwell, but I know that there's a lot more there I don't know that I'm definitely willing to listen to. But as a nation, we just need somebody who's more coherent than any of these sleepy potatoes running, you know, but like,
I love geez. That sleepy potatoes.
Oh, Biden's sleepy potato. Trump's a crazy sleepy potato. I mean, he's at least a little, you know, he's got some spunk, but we need some sanity. We just need some. Yeah.
I guess like how I felt, and I'll read some of the tweets he went off about. But I guess like, I don't know. It's so complicated. With Kanye, it's one thing to not want to vote for him. Now I know Kim's his wife, so she is way more entangled. So it's easy for me to say like, all right, like I thought a lot of what I kind of understood what he was saying and got the deeper point, but it came out in a way that felt, I'm all about emotions, but it felt too emotional in a certain degree. But you can just not vote for him. Like, I don't think anyone should cause him harm or lock him up. And I'm very sensitive to that.
No, yeah. Energy.
So I guess, because look.
He obviously needs help. I mean, this is an obvious cry for help. It's something very, you know, like we can all laugh and oh, he's crazy. But like, this guy is clearly needing some mental like help. And we shouldn't be.
That's the thing. Like, I think so many people need, quote unquote, help, including a lot of the Kardashian clan. So, you know, when I heard through his tweets that it, like one of the first ones is Kim tried to bring a doctor to lock me up. You know, everybody knows right. The movie Get Out is about me. And then he said, Chris, don't play with me. You and that Kanye, which I guess is what he calls her boyfriend, are not allowed. I love that. Are not allowed around my children. Y'all try to lock me up. And he said more, but like, that's when I started really feeling for him. Cause I'm not saying he shouldn't be going to therapy or whatever. I mean, who doesn't? I feel like the world needs therapy, but right. I don't like, from the sounds of it, I don't like the way the Kardashian clan is going about it. That kind of energy only freaks people out and makes them feel controlled. So, and once again, I feel like the Kardashian clan has some mental illness they want to deal with, but it's in a different, more hidden way.
I mean, we also don't have the facts about what exactly it is he's saying that they did. And even, you know, like it's really hard to judge based on someone that emotional and kind of unhinged. And full disclosure, I've never once watched an episode of the Kardashians. I don't know which one's which. I know Kim and I think I know Khloe. And my friend tried to explain it to me. It was like, this is, you know, this is the hot whatever mom, this, you know, the hot whatever, and then, you know,
hilarious,
what is it, he's the, and then Caitlyn's the hot dad, like he explained it to me that way, and I was like, okay, I don't know them at all, but so I don't know anything about them. I've seen like some interviews with her and she seems perfectly nice. I don't know anything else, but I mean, they could very well just be like, you know, I've had a friend back in the day kind of lose her mind, and we all tried to help her and bring her to, you know, a place where she could get help. And they were basically like, she needs to stay here. But she has to do it willingly. She's absolutely losing her mind basically. And she needs to stay here, but you guys can't make her. And so she chose not to stay. And we kind of all had to be like, all right, if you're not going to get help, like, we can't help you anymore. And so, and then, you know, who knows what they're actually doing. This is the longest I've ever cared to or talk about the Kardashians or Kanye West ever. It's like,
I really or have ever. Yeah, I appreciate that you haven't seen an episode. I used to.
Not one.
That's amazing. I used to watch
it. A meme.
Handy.
Really?
Right. Yeah, like, you know, kind of when you want to numb your brain a little bit, I'd watch it. But I felt that it started to feel so fake to me. And I could just see the pain in a lot of their faces and actions. And I over here do not live a perfect life. But it just didn't feel real. So I just lost interest. But I think it's cool that it never pulled you at all.
I'm sure if it would, I mean, because again, I've seen interviews with her and she seems like a very nice person. They seem nice and are obviously, you know, fucking smart. But like, can I curse? Sorry, I didn't even ask you.
I just
didn't watch that. Okay. But I mean, everything is scripted. I remember, you know, bartending on 9th Avenue and having the writers for Jersey Shore in there. Like writing, like signing the new contract. I'm going, this stuff is written. Like it's all scripted, all every reality bit. So that's not surprising that it got too fake for you.
Like, yeah. Well, sorry. It's like even with some reality shows being somewhat scripted, you can still feel real moments versus ones that are set up. At least I feel like I can. And it just didn't feel juicy. Like I can still some Jersey Shore family reunion for sure. And like when they get into their real moments, you feel the like heat. You feel, you know, I love
right
now because I have been watching catching up on Jersey Shore now because I wasn't as into it back when it was popular. But ever since I saw like a clip on YouTube of like Pauly D hitting on JWoww, I was like obsessed. So I had to catch up on that. But
I heard the writers told me he is the nicest one in the whole group, that Pauly D is like the sweet one. So
D is so he's hilarious too.
I've only seen clips. I don't know if I've ever watched a full episode of that either, but I've definitely watched
so much classier than me.
I'm not even claiming classy. I numb my brain too, but it's like it's in a pathetic way where I've watched The Office all the way through.
Aww.
I don't want to admit how many times, enough to know almost every single line in every episode. So, really? But that's my numbing, and I just, you know, I watched something or I like saw a meme the other day that said that, you know, people that come from trauma will watch something that they know very well so that they know what's happening. And I was like, oh God, a broken home child here. It totally given me away that I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I just couldn't get into a lot of reality. But I'm missing out. Apparently people like it. No, yeah. This is not me bragging at all. I just watched nothing new. That's my problem. But
I'm obsessed with the Jersey Shore. I love that you said that. That I'm like so into their dynamics and their storylines and so many things.
I did just see their wedding, the one where Angelina is married and she gets roasted. I saw that.
Yes.
Did you see that? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, it was a brutal bridesmaid speech.
What the hell was that?
But they were, I think, also really upset because they felt set up by MTV. Like, they really felt that was going to kill going into it. And I think MTV obviously loves to catch the drama on camera. So I think they kind of knew behind the scenes, like, this is going to be a shit show. So I think the girls, you know, well, it plays out in the episode where basically Snooki quits then and there. Dina says she'll never film with Angelina again. And I think JWoww might not even be returning. So it was kind of a mess.
I mean, how long were they gone? And then now they're back? Like, and now they're gone again? I guess it's just...
Well, the boys are coming back. So
This is the most hilarious long conversation I've ever had about any reality TV show. It's so fun. I love that you love the Jersey Shore. It makes you so quirky.
Shows. I can't help it. Like, I just eat it up, you know? And I used to love watching the Kardashians too, But like I said, something shifted. Like, I like when you see the human condition really shine through. Like, we're all messy. We all have messy parts. So I enjoyed the younger Kardashian episodes, which I know you didn't watch, where some of the mess came through more. And the mess still kind of comes through, but it's just, I don't know. I'm like, I want to see humans be humans. Like, if I ever have a reality show, I guarantee you will catch me melting down. And I will try my best to not be ashamed if that ever happens.
Would you ever do a reality show? Like, would you ever go on, like, 100%. The Bachelorette or Bachelor?
Oh, not that.
No.
I want my own. I'm not going to give it away because it's, like, something I've actually been somewhat trying to shop. Really? But, like, yes, I would totally share my life because I think I'm an entertaining person, and I think I own my mess pretty well. You never know. Like, if people were what a crazy bitch, I'd probably be crying wounded, but,
you would at least have your family and friends watch it. I mean, you'd have that success.
Gracie, if I ever get a reality show, would you make a guest appearance on reality, or would you?
Yeah, but like, I'd want to be like a character. I'd want to spark something. I'd want to cause some, you know, like a fight. I'd have to get some neck tattoos. Like, I'd want to make it interesting for you. I don't want to just
Gracie,
be like,
if you
me.
Yes, no. Okay, it's a deal. Even though it's reality, I would allow you to like go into another character, like, and you could rename her and like come at me.
Okay. I'm into it. It sounds good.
I would die laughing the whole time because I'd be like, I'd still be like Gracie, and you'd be like, my name's a fucking Gracie. I'd be like,
how did you know that would be my voice? I had an idea and that would be it. Yeah, really? Absolutely. Hey, I'm also a little Italian. I don't know.
Yeah, no. Let's make it Jersey Shore. Please. Yeah. My Jersey Shore Italian.
They talk like that, right? I don't know.
Oh my God. Okay. So let's get into Gracie is an amazing actress. And even though I didn't have the pleasure yet of being in a scene with her, I got to be in a movie with her timing that is now out on Amazon Prime. So let's talk about it. What made you
think? Oh. You are amazing, by the way. Your scenes are hilarious. sorry, what was the question?
Well, first of all, if you're going to say I'm amazing, like, I have to say, you and Mike Cannon fucking killed it. You guys, your acting is incredible. And Alex Anderson killed it as well. When he sent me the script originally, and I read through it, I was like, okay, I love it. And that was before I even knew you know what I mean? And then you were just, you freaking killed it. So
you're very kind. Honestly, I consider myself a pretty, like, I mean, I've acted quite a bit, but honestly, like, working with Cannon, like, it's like, you've never acted before. Are you serious? He's so good that it's just so easy to play off of him. Like, I was just like the whole time, like, well, this is definitely going to get you a whole lot more work. Like, you're ridiculously good. And then Alex has got to be like one of the most kind directors I've ever worked with. Just like consistently so nice. Like, that guy's got a heart of gold. And just, I mean, he cast it well and he just put it together well and just like made it happen. I mean, it was a bit of an arduous, like, you know, process. Like, it definitely took a little bit longer than most films do, but like, he got it done. And I've got to work with Cannon. Sorry, my dog is barking. Mango Lightning is, he's mad. Yeah. Mango. But yeah, I've had the pleasure of working with Mike quite a bit and like just getting to do something a little bit more serious with him. Like, we've had some, like, you know, very like intense fight scenes. And just getting to see, like, playing off of him was just so easy and fun. And there's, of course, just so much real laughter in it because I can't.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not laugh at him? Like, it's just so hard not to. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I felt very lucky because he was the one that recommended me to Alex for that role. And then, you know, that just worked out really well. It was so much fun. And there was a lot cut from the movie, actually, that didn't make it in for, you know, I think for Alex explained, like, for very good reason. But like, there's also some stuff that was so good that was cut that I definitely want to share eventually. I don't know if you saw any, but there was like a whole other character played by Brian, my friend Brian, and he is just, oh my gosh, he plays the roommate. He's only in one scene in the end, but he had like five scenes that got cut out, but they're hilarious. The whole cast was just, oh my God.
Yeah.
They were just great.
Cast it so well. And I think he directed it incredibly. Not only is he kind and just, I feel that his presence allows for an actor to really let their light shine through, because you don't feel this like looming presence, like, don't fuck up, you know, which can
really
doubt one's flow and creativity. And he created a great story. So when he sent me the script originally, because I can be a bitch, I'm like, I wanted to say yes to him right away, and I kind of did. But he even said to me, read the script first, because I had a kissing scene and that I eventually agreed to, which got cut out. But I remember reading it and being like, oh, this man can fucking write. I love his concepts. Obviously, mm-hmm. even though he wrote the script, like, you and Cannon improv'd a shit ton, you know, but mm-hmm. that's what I loved about it too, was that even though I was given points to hit in certain lines, I felt free to infuse it with my own flavor. And I think that's the best way, in my opinion.
Yes. If you cast it well,
show. Yeah.
You don't have to do, I mean, you cast it well, you don't have to do like as much work. And he was smart in that way. And he, I mean, he, you know, obviously I'm not saying myself, but he cast like other people very well. And yeah, he's not one of those directors that's just, you know, thwarting all of your creativity. He doesn't have his fingerprints on everything. He was really letting us go and, you know, kind of just like guiding us like a director should do. Yeah. And, you know, as opposed to some of these directors I've worked with that, you know, maybe they're just a little more insecure and they just feel the need to like just control everything or, you know, be very vague. Like I've been on set with like 50 extras and the moment is so intense. And like, for some reason the director wasn't, feeling exactly what I was doing. And his direction was, okay, go again. It's all in the eyes. Go. And I was like, what the fuck does that mean? I was like, that's all you got? It's all in the eyes. You didn't tell me anything else. All right, great. And then like, I still felt like I failed miserably. So like, but yeah, you have these directors that make you feel like you're just failing them, who it's just awful. Aren't used to working with actors. Yeah. Yeah, he was great though. It was a pleasure working with him. I'd definitely do it again.
One of my favorite people. So like, it's
same.
Not, but for a reason. And yeah, he let us do our thing while really keeping his vision. And he put so much fucking work into it the last 3 years or however long since we filmed that I'm just so proud of him that he stayed on the project. You know what I mean? He stopped filming so long ago. And, you know, even though Dan Hirshon edited a ton of it, Alex ended up like learning the program and edited it so much himself and just put so much of his heart and soul into it. And I know it's just the first of many projects. I said to him, I was like, you better keep me in mind to star in one of your movies. Like, I believe in him so much. I know he's going to be huge. And his energy was just so easy to work with. And that's the kind of stuff I need. Because when we have the directors that you were just describing, I like, I have like panic attacks and I get angry. Like, who the fuck are you?
Like, or they're hitting on you or trying to sleep with you. That's a very common threat. Like,
that's awful.
Very
too.
Professional, very respectful. Oh God. Yeah. It's just, it's you're so, on edge. You what?
It puts you on edge on the defensive. Oh,
yeah. 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 Uh-huh.
Yeah. I just did do something though. Another director producer, his name's Christian. I won't give out his full information. I don't know if he wants me to, but he was fucking incredible too. So, but that, as you know, it's just so important to have a safe, comfortable environment for creativity to really shine through.
Yeah, absolutely. And we definitely felt that from him. And, like, it's definitely worth it. As long as it took to shoot, it definitely came out, and we were really excited with the response. We were kind of overwhelmed. Like, I was really nervous to watch it.
Really?
Ken and I were chatting. I was like, I'm nervous. He'd be like, have you watched it yet? I'm like, no, I'm too scared. And he's like, did you watch? And then finally, he's like, I watched it. You're good. Don't worry. You can watch it. It's not bad at all. It's like, I was like, you know, it's good. I was like, all right, cool. But yeah, I mean, I'm always nervous just watching anything I'm in. So I kind of waited for a while.
Slayed. You were phenomenal. I had people asking, like, do you know her? Are you friends with her? I was like, yeah, you know, she's my friend. No big deal. No, no, you're so good. You look beautiful. You acted incredibly. You're also just very natural at it. So,
thank you.
Slade, you should be so proud. I'm proud to be a part of it with such incredible people, like genuinely. And that's just not you, Cannon, and Anderson. It's like a lot of those comics that make appearances. It makes me proud that I got to be in a project linked to them. So,
yeah, I agree. This, I mean, like Tim and just some people that my dog is just taking all the noises. I don't know if you're hearing it. He's
Mango, let you
hacking in the background.
Shout out. Can you explain Mango Lightning a little bit to people? Because when I was talking to Gracie about a week ago, you were at like a dog park and Mango was like barking at you. Like he was talking to you like a human, I felt.
He does. He's Bucky. He's got spunk. So I've got this 8-pound toy poodle Pomeranian mix. And, you know, when I first took him in to the vet was like, wow, he's really got an attitude. Like, he's got a toot. And I was like, no, he's a puppy. He's super sweet. He absolutely has such an attitude. He called it, like, I can't say no to him without him, like, yelling at me. Like, he doesn't respond to that, like, oh, okay, sorry, was I doing something wrong? It's just this yells at me, or he even knows I'm going to say something to him, and I'll just look at him, and he'll just start screaming at me. Like, walking down the street, if I accidentally, like, touch his foot, he just screams at me. So, like, he's just a bucky little dude. He's so, he's really sweet most of the time. But, yeah, he's just, like, very bucky. Like, he likes to swim in the, he likes to curl up in the water dish at the dog park that all of them drink out of. And so he runs and gets in that. And as soon as I just look at him, he knows I'm going to yell at him to get out. He just starts screaming at me. Like, so that's what was happening when I was talking in the dog park. He's just jumping in there and I, you know, change the water every time. But you know, this is what it's like to have kids. So, as a new age kid, nobody has kids anymore, right? This is what we do. We just do dogs.
I think it's both considering I have a kid, but you know,
right. That's true. You too. I don't know anybody else with a kid. I've got one friend.
I have a kid and a dog.
Completely forgot you have a kid. I don't. Literally, you're like one of two people I know with kids, which is great because you're doing it really well. But for me, I couldn't. I can't look at me. I can't even handle this dog.
Shane also will sit in the water bowl at the dog park, and I'm like, Shane, and then he starts yelling. No, I'm joking.
So you get it, right? You know.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, he'd complain to you about how hard it is to raise a dog.
No, but it is like, honestly, no. A dog is so much responsibility because my son has a dog, and I used to have joint custody of the dog as well. And like just giving them what they need. Cause his dog Jada is so cute, but she wants constant love and attention. And Shane's almost 14. So like he's full teenager, you know, he's pretty independent at this point. So Jada, his dog, is way, I think, is a lot more work than Shane. So
well, they pretty much take care of themselves after 13, right? I don't know.
My opinion, like, he gets good grades, you know. Yeah. I've got a pretty good kid, so I know some parents are like, oh my gosh, the teen years are hell. He's pretty fucking amazing. So
I mean, I have no doubt. I mean, you're awesome. Like, you're obviously a great mom. So
I try. I
mean, cool people have cool kids, I think. Or sometimes the opposite. Yeah.
So let's talk about, so not only are you an actress, but you're also a musician.
I am. I'm mostly a musician nowadays, actually, because I kind of backed away from acting around the time that this was shooting. I was kind of shifting focus because I'd been doing comedic commercials primarily, and I did some, you know, TV. I got to do like 50 Cent. I got to work with 50 Cent on his sketch show, a few episodes I did of that. And then around that time, I was just like, I don't know if this is something I want to focus on primarily. Like, I was really digging voiceover work and just wanted to focus on music and being able to like work from home and my best friend and I have a project. We've known each other for 15 years, and our bands would tour together when we were, like, you know, really young. And then I finally convinced him to move here and start a project with me. And after being best friends for 10 years, we also decided to just be together and date at the same time. And so we, like, we did that for 5 years, then decided we should probably go back to just being friends, but also we'll keep the music going because we just couldn't, you know, it just didn't work out in that way. But, like, we kept saying, like, it's kind of not fair. I feel bad. Like, I feel like this is the best breakup anybody's ever had. Like, it was hard, but it was still just like, okay, so we're just going to cut out what doesn't work between us and go back to being best friends, not fighting about anything really anymore, and just write music again. Like, and so that's kind of what we're doing now. And so, yeah, we started this project called Lady Lightning. And our EP came out like a year ago, and we're just now with quarantine, we're getting back in the studio. Last week was our first day. Aww. And yeah, we're getting back again Friday. We're working with my very good friend Cass Dillon, and yeah, my friend, my best friend Tony Bush. So it's just the three of us working on this music right now. We just started recording this song that I'd originally written for Eric Gardner back when that all happened. So it's kind of like our ode to the revolution that's happening. Yep. So I'm really excited to share some of our new stuff because, he's barking at me. I don't know. But yeah, so we're excited to share some of our new stuff. We're looking to, like, release a new song a month from here on out.
That's awesome. Yeah. I listened to it the other day and you're really freaking good.
Oh, thank you.
Where can people find, we're not done yet, but where can people find your music?
So we're streaming everywhere. So if you just look for Lady Lightning, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get music. And then if you want to find us, we do a lot of live streams and Instagram and Facebook. So just at Lady Lightning Music.
I love that name and I love how it's tied to Mango Lightning.
I know. Well, we figured we didn't want to, like, it was both of our dogs, so we didn't want to give him one of our last names. So we just, his Instagram is Sir Mango Lightning, for those who want to see what this little shit looks like. We basically created it because our mothers are obsessed with him, and so they wanted to be able to see what he's doing all day, and I didn't want to annoy my friends too much with my dog on my Instagram. So... But yeah.
I'm going to be obsessed once I get to meet him. Like, I already am, and I've only seen pictures and have heard him, but, like, his barks are always at the perfect time. He just humors me. I might have to name this Mango Lightning, if that's okay.
Yes, please. And, like, the more you talk about my dog, if you love my dog, I like you. There's something about, like, I'm sure it's, like, I don't know if it's like this with kids either. I'm sure you kind of, like, see everybody's real personality come out. I'm like, if they're not crazy about my dog, I kind of go, what's wrong with you? Like, you don't see how cute this thing is? Like, you don't like dogs? There are people that don't like dogs, and that freaks me out. Like,
I used to be one of those people. I got attacked when I was 11 by a Russian wolfhound. So I was, like, so scared. But then my son, he, like, popped out of the womb a puppy boy. Like, he wanted to hug every dog he saw. And at first I was having a heart attack, constantly. And then it made me ease up and healed my own fear around dogs. So I credit him, but now I can really love cute pups, but I don't love every dog. I need to say that too. Some dogs really annoy the crap out of me. Mango Lightning. Mango Lightning looks cute and I can just feel his presence and he cracked me up. Like when we were talking that time at the dog park and you were like yelling at it, he was like yelling back at you.
Yeah.
Like it was hysterical to me. And I was like, oh, I like his spunk. I like that you allow him to be like that.
It's so hard not, like, the reason why he's not disciplined better is because it's so funny to us. Yeah. And like we just die laughing when he yells back at us. So, like, if I said no to him right now, he would just bark at me. So then that's hilarious. But
yes.
Thank you. I appreciate it, that he's special to you.
Yeah. I will meet him one day.
Yes, you will. He doesn't like being held, though. I will not try to hold him.
Okay.
I got a dog to cuddle. I'm like, I want to cuddle with a dog. I'm going to get something little. He fucking can't stand being held. He doesn't want to lay next to you. Like, that's it. He wants his independence. So it's a real test of
superhero dog. He doesn't want to be coddled too much, you know. Nope. He's got lives to save.
He's got things to do. Yeah.
So I want to get into also your activism, because what I also really adore about you is how much you want to make a difference in the world. Like, you see the brokenness of many things and it hurts your soul in a way that allows me to know you're a really good human. So
I hate that part about me. It's so annoying. Like, just that part that is allowed to be like hurt by these things that we see. I appreciate you saying that. That's really sweet. It is. And being in, having empathy is such a gift and a curse. And you just, learning to know what's healthy to ingest and what is just, insidious is important. Like, when I was a kid, I was just, I campaigned for Kerry. I was the volunteer manager for Obama. Mm. And I did, so much back in Ohio, which is like a very important swing state. But I was going to go full on with politics. I went through this Camp Wellstone training and I was, but the only part of it that I ended up really enjoying was like the debates and anything performance related. So I was like, okay, I don't really know if I have the heart to do politics, but I care so much about them. And I felt like I got my heart broken so much, especially like losing my county each time. Even though Obama did win, we still lost the county I was making thousands of phone calls in. So, I was pretty involved in, protests there and all that. And I haven't done a whole lot of protesting here just because of, nervousness about the pandemic and stuff. I've still like gone to some vigils and stuff, but I accept what it is that I can do, which is like, okay, I know it sounds like not much, but like, I really would like to write a song about this. And so I wrote a song about it and I'm recording it and I'm hoping to get like a very, hopefully like an impactful music video made out of it. And if that can just get a message out or just inspire somebody, like that's all I can do. But I did get my heart broken a lot politically. I felt pretty betrayed by, my party many times. I was a very big Bernie fan and I couldn't allow myself, I donated, but I couldn't allow myself to get involved because I just couldn't watch what they were about to do to him happen again. And then it did, and it happened again. And I was just like, we don't deserve this man. I'm so sad. I was actually just talking to a friend of mine about like what it is to like be careful about like, being empathetic and being informed and all of these issues that you're passionate about. Like, I'm very passionate about gun control and obviously civil rights and but being very careful. Like, after the Eric Garner video I watched, that shook me. God, I don't want to cry. It shook me in a way that I realized I couldn't ingest any of these videos anymore. I still wanted to be informed. I still want to help. I want to donate and I use my voice in any way that I can. But listening to Wayne Dyer, he talks about like you can't ingest like violent videos like horror films or whatever. And I heard that and I watched that video, I was like, I'm done. I can't ingest this anymore. I didn't watch George Floyd video, but I got involved. And my friend was just like, yeah, I wish I hadn't, there's so many people. I wish I hadn't seen it. It's so hard to deal with that. And I don't want to say I'm looking the other way because I'm not, but I'm definitely like staying as informed as I can and doing what I can without hurting myself too badly in the process. I hope that doesn't sound too like weak, but that's kind of where my head has been with it, in that balance.
Yeah, and I think it's important. Like, I can't really watch most horror movies. They really, and I'm, I'm horror movies, and obviously watching a video of an actual man getting, an innocent man getting murdered is like a whole other level of horror. Yeah. But I'm with you in the sense of I'm so sensitive that those things rock me to my core. And I am rocked enough that I want to make a difference. You know, I will always keep using my voice and my platform to try to speak into power, actual peace and community and what love really looks like and non-duality. And non-duality to me is so important. And I've tried, like, I have some friends that are, some good friends that are Republicans. And I think it's important that for us to get to a new place on this earth is finding whatever middle ground means. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like hearing each other out, because I think at the end of the day, what we all want is peace and freedom. I'm not saying everyone on this. Yeah. Not everyone, unfortunately, but
sadly,
I found at least with my friends there that are Republican trying, you know, and I, even though I'm definitely a liberal on many platforms, I'm more central than people would assume, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's just being able to stay open-minded, have tough conversations, but try to do it with as much love as we can. And understanding.
Yes, I agree with you there. And I also think, and you could probably agree with the fact that there does have to be like a foot that needs to be put down once in a while where like my immediate family, like my brother, my mother, my father, like we're all very liberal, very progressive, very educated group. And like our aunts and uncles on one side of the family are very big, you know, Republican, you know, conservative side. And we got bullied, me and like a few of the other ones in the family, for years and years into silence. And we didn't speak up and we didn't call them out. And then when all of this happened and I just started noticing like some of these relatives that I loved so much just being completely silent on the world's largest civil rights movement. And mm-hmm. it's sickening me. Like, I used to love watching your kid pictures. And now I'm saying that that's all you care about. Like, mm-hmm. is like, you're not going to say anything. And then on top of that, I had a few of them that are pretty outspoken, you know, against this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I know behind closed doors, because I have friends and, you know, other family in the, you know, area, that I know that some of them are pretty racist behind closed mm-hmm. doors. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to be nice to you. You're not going to bully me. And so I was like, hey, what you posted, it's really dumb. And like, I, you know, but I didn't say it that way. I said it in a very, I thought, you know, compassionate and like kind of just in any way trying to inform them, but also just let them know that it's not okay. You are no longer safe. We're not allowing you to have a safe place to be, to preach mm-hmm. your racism, to inspire others to do the same. And then as soon as I did that, I got like, oh my God, I got so much shit from my family. Like I got other people in trouble who liked my comments in the family. And then all of a sudden there was this wave of like all of the liberals in the family coming together and being like, why the hell have we been so quiet? Mm. Thank you for speaking out. Now they all started like getting blocked and whatever, speaking out. So I do think that there's an important balance of like, you can absolutely. You know, be loving and kind if you can't. And if there's any way that they can be, you know, talked to, do it, but also take away their safe space. Let them know when shit's not okay. Yeah.
Like there's no excuse. There's no place for it. And for me, I don't even think that's a political thing. Like it's political whether, you know, some people want to defund the police. Some people just want to change and make the police just a peaceful organization. Like for me, that's where the politics come in of like, I think we should all agree that change needs to occur. To me, that just makes sense.
I think human rights are not political. Like, yeah, that shouldn't be a political thing.
One of my good friends who is Republican, she's so active in the Black Lives Matter movement, you know? So I think it's important no matter what to say, there's no place for racism. But I think Republicans would agree with that. But when it comes to, let's say, like, gun control, you know, I'm probably more in the middle than people think with me. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely, we need to change the way it's going on. And I don't even want to assume your thoughts, because gun control can mean so many things. Some people are like, get rid of them completely. Some people are like, there just needs to be tighter rules, or assault rifles need to be banned. Like, people, there's a spectrum of what that means to people. I don't know exactly where I fit, but I'm not on a liberal extreme that a lot of people assume I am. Mm-hmm. And it's not just there. There are other topics where people assume, because I am pretty hippy-dippy, they assume that I'm super left on every topic, and it's just not the case.
But where do you lie there? Like, if you were to have it up to you as far as the gun rights, yeah.
Because then we could even tackle abortion if we want.
We could go there. Let's do it.
Yeah. I'm like, if we want to. But before I even get into that, I think, and I will, I think it's also important what you're saying, like, neither side, if it's like a family gathering, but neither side, whether you're more liberal or conservative, no one should feel bullied into silence ever. And that's important, because I know that some Republicans feel bullied as well. So I think everyone should have a right to state their opinion. But once again, not if your opinion's racism. You know what I mean?
Yes. That is where we draw the line.
Yeah, no. Or just any really hate-filled. Like that, no.
And I get it. And like the Dems and liberals can bully way worse than I've been bullied by, like, I've been talked to very badly. I mean, like I said, I was making phone calls in a red county in Ohio for Kerry and for Obama. I endured a lot of bullying from the Republicans in that state. But then nothing compared to it when I was voting and supporting Bernie and my friends who liked Hillary. Like, casting directors. I had about three casting directors, because I don't know what it was, but all of them were for Hillary, which, okay, that's fine. We disagree. I was for Bernie. I had actual private messages from them telling me I better watch out and stop supporting Bernie. I had to block two casting directors. I had to stop kind of talking to one about politics. Like, it was like absurd, like scare tactic bullying that I got when it came to that. And I was like, wow, I've had some bad shit from Republicans, but like, this is like cold shit, like, just because I'm not for your candidate. Like, it was really crazy. I'd never experienced that before.
Unacceptable. From any point, you know, it's like, and that's all I just wanted to state is, you know, you can be a liberal bully, you can be a conservative bully, but if we can just ease up, and part of the easing up can be, if someone's not comfortable discussing it at all, then that's part of the boundaries that need to be drawn, you know?
Yeah.
But if people are going to discuss it, I think it has to be a safe ground for both, unless, once again, someone has racist jargon going on. Then it's like, no. Like, if something is racist, anti-Semitic, super misogynistic, I'm not going to even engage in that. That is mental illness to me, you know? So. Yeah. I won't even go there. And that doesn't even feel political. You know, it just feels like a real fucking psychopath disease to be there. So.
Exactly. And at that point, you really have to go, okay, you cannot teach someone empathy. You can't go back in time and breastfeed this person. Like, you can't just make them totally capable of feeling, you know, kind of any kind of empathy or compassion for another person. So you should be like, okay, you're sick. Like, you're just sick and this isn't okay. So I'm at least going to tell you to shut the fuck up. So that's it.
Like, I'll just walk away, you know, but when it comes to, and I'll get back to gun control, but when it comes to even like defund the police, you know, I prefer the phrase like peace the police, which I'm making up, that sounds awful, but it's like,
the way you said it's great.
Peace the police. It's not even saying like peace to them. It's saying like, let's not defund them, but let's have an overhaul of like what it actually means to be compassionate. And I'm not saying like, yeah, sometimes the police have to at times. They can't just come in with flowers all the time to like a situation, but it can't be what it is. First of all, the racism just has to be healed. And then also, you know, we have to really hire people that are tested thoroughly for not just mental illness, but like anger issues, which is linked to it. Like, you can't be that quick to draw a gun. You have to really know how to ride waves of an emotional situation to be part of the police force, in my opinion. It is such, in a sense, it's an honor to be a police officer. You're supposed to uphold the law and true justice. And that, unfortunately, I'm not saying all police officers. I've met some that seem like the kindest people, but there are some out there who are just wrongly, so wrongly using their power, and that needs to fucking stop. And anyone who disagrees there, I'm like, what, you know, whatever. But okay, so let's get to gun control. I don't know exactly where I'm at with gun control. It's something that I probably need to learn more about to be more solidified. I'm not anti-gun, meaning like, I would maybe one day own one, or I've never been to a shooting range. Like, I would go to a shooting range and learn how to shoot one. I don't fully know if I'd ever own one. I'm just not against it in a way that I think a lot of people would expect. But I think there needs to be tighter laws and stuff on who can get their hands on one. Of course. I think in general the whole world needs to heal to a point where we don't misuse fucking anything? Of course, but I know that's a long ways away. So I don't know. Like, I wish I had a more solidified opinion. I'm just not as like, I have some friends who are very like, get rid of all the guns, and I'm just not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there can be a middle ground. there's got to be more done. Obviously, we shouldn't take a fucking pandemic to stop these mass shootings from happening, which is one of the best things that's come out of this, is that we don't have to hear about this shit happening every week anymore. Yeah. We obviously need, I'm terrified of like, people I love. I'm from Dayton, Ohio, and like that, I mean, they've all shook me, every single one of them, like the pulse, like, I mean, just the biggest, every single one of them has rocked me in a weird way, where I've considered just like giving up everything and just putting all of my energy into like helping that one issue, because it's just so, it leaves us all so scared and vulnerable. And when the shooting happened in Dayton, my hometown, just that moment of like, I haven't lived there in Ohio in 10 years, but just I was at that bar, that exact bar, and having a reunion not that long ago with my college friends. And my friends were down on the Oregon District when that happened. And I had to call my brother and like wait to hear back from him to make sure he was okay. Like, those moments, just like that one shook me even more so. And while I can respect that everybody, that we are not exactly the most progressive nation, that we might not get to a place that Australia did, where they just got rid of all their guns and fixed the problem, essentially just fixed it. I will settle. And I think it's not a very big ask to just say, can we just treat it like owning a car? Like, you know, can you at least just require some kind of intelligence to be able to acquire one, be able to use one? Mm-hmm. That's where I stand on it. I think you and I are probably, I mean, like, I, of course, would love to just get rid of all of them. But at the same time, I'm a realist, and I would just settle on the basic human decent thing to do.
Yeah.
And it baffles me that that's something that people don't get. Like, you're basically, you're not even fighting the fact that, you know, like, you're not fighting for your gun. You're fighting for the fact you don't want to take a test. That's it. Like, that's it. Like, you're
fighting. I don't think people even fully realize it. Like, I think people get so triggered by certain words that I think people agree more than they realize, but they can't even get to the conversation to realize that there's more middle ground than, you know what I mean? So if someone says, like, you and I are pretty much on the same place here, but we could have easily thought we weren't, just because, you know, of a certain word, gun control, and what that means to us, you know? So I think if people stop assuming right away what something means and actually have the conversation, we could find that most of us actually agree more, even if there's a gray area of agreement where it's not exactly the same, but, you know, okay, we're kind of swimming in the same area. I think a lot of people would, but I think people start taking this hard defended stance right away and then assuming that they disagree more than they actually do. So hopefully ask that. And also I hope that just that we evolve as a collective to the place where people are hurting less, suffering less, angry less, and that we're paying attention more to people who are showing red flags, you know, and and not allowing people to get to their outbursts. And I'm not saying like guns don't kill people, people kill people, because it's both.
But the gun helps. Yes.
Because the truth is, if someone came in with a knife to an area, it would be easier to take that person down than if they have an assault weapon, obviously. Right. So that's for sure. So, yes, I completely get that. I just want to see a less in pain collective where we're listening to each other. People aren't feeling as invaded or ignored or pushed away or, you know, whatever it is that's going on in a lot of people's emotional bodies, and just us listening to each other more. That's what I wish for. And we're all doing our part. And I think you creating music and songs about, you know, certain various people that have been killed or topics that are touching you, I think that's a beautiful way to make a difference. And everyone has their own way. Like, I think we can't judge what, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's cool that, yes, you've done some protests, but you're honoring your limitations of, okay, there's a pandemic, so I don't want to do a ton. I think it's great that you're listening to your system and what works for you, and that each individual has a right to feel into what's their way of putting out their light into the world. So
there's no wrong way. As long as you're doing something, like,
trying to bring love into this world and compassion and understanding. And what I love about non-duality is trying to see all perspectives, except if you're a fucking racist, anti-Semitic misogynist. We just don't have time for it.
I completely agree. And there is this element, and you brought this up, but it's so hard because people get triggered. They think they know everything, you know, you're saying already before we can even meet in the middle. We've got this, team red, team blue mentality, and it's all, you know, keeping us, fighting. But our brains reward us essentially when I deny information that is contradicting what I believe. Like, we are literally shot with a chemical in our brain. If you brought some information to me that would, you know, prove my theory wrong on abortion or whatever, if I deny it, my brain rewards me. And so that kind of injurious kind of behavior is just it keeps us from progressing in anywhere or just even having any kind of conversation. It's scary now. It's scary to have that talk. But I think if I can just be like, God, we, it's not crazy to go, hey, it's not working. Can we at least just look at other countries and what they're doing? Cause it is working in other places. That's not stupid to go, okay, well, it works there this way. Why don't we just do that? Like, it works. Like, there's way less gun violence if we do this.
Let's take it a step further. Let's look at some enlightened alien civilizations if we're going to look around. You know what I mean?
I mean, if we had the capability, yes, of course.
I mean, that's a whole other conversation. No, I don't know why I have to take it there. But, like,
I think I need some psilocybin before I can really get in touch with that one. Yeah.
No, there are just so many newer, more evolved ways of doing things that, yes, if we look to other countries, civilizations, whatever, there are answers out there if we really want to know them. But some people are so stuck to old systems and ways of doing things and so protected over it that it scares them to even look. And that's what we're kind of saying is, like, evolving and growing is a beautiful thing.
literally, Mango reminds me every time I do something he doesn't understand. I light a lighter. I do whatever. I'm doing anything he doesn't understand. He just starts freaking out and barking at me. And I just think, you are my cousin. You are my uncle who just doesn't understand something. So you're just going to get really angry at me about it. Like, it's just so, it's inherent in all of us. We all have the ability to just get angry at what we don't understand.
Oh, absolutely. So, my boyfriend, when he points out a blind spot, I first go Mango Lightning and I'm like,
I love that. That's a verb.
Not perfect. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I do. And then like half an hour into the conversation, I'm like, you're right. I didn't want to see it. You know, it's embarrassing or shameful or something comes up, you know, but it's right. Okay to see like certain places in ourselves that aren't perfect. Nothing is. Okay, let's get into a board real quick before we end.
Great. No, this is a quick topic. So yeah.
Well, look, I'm not going to, it's not,
send it on a light note.
Yeah. On a really light note, abortion.
Let's do it.
We kind of started there with Kanye talking about abortion. I'll just say this, like, I'm still pro-choice. I mean, pro-life is such a funny word too, because I'm obviously pro-life. Like, just the words are, it's like, well, I'm pro-life and pro-choice. They both sound really great.
Yeah, they make it sound like you're pro-death when they say they're pro-life. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's like, okay. But no, I'm pro-choice, and yet I am also pro-life, meaning like, I think there should be a time limit on when you can have one, unless it's an emergency situation, of course. You know what I mean? But I don't think if the baby's healthy at 7 or 8 months or even 6, like, come on. You know what I mean? Like, you have time. So I definitely think there needs to be some limitations on it, which for the most part there are, but I don't think abortion should be banned.
Right.
So, I mean, it is kind of quick. That's how I feel.
It is quick.
I am like, I would love for people who get pregnant to be able to carry it to term if their life, if, I don't know. I also just hate like when people are so anti-abortion, but then they don't treat the humans on the planet great. Like that makes no sense too.
It is odd how like the more pro-choicers are actually pro, like, saving lives and like helping children than a lot of, you know, so-called, you know, I'm not saying all of them, but like there are some pro-lifers that are just, they don't give a shit about these kids in cages right now. Like that's a life. Like how do you care more about your mission trip than, you know, like this happening in your own country? Yeah.
Yeah.
And Sam Harris actually has a really brilliant speech on like, just he dissects exactly like how many cells are in the embryo, like that are like basically the amount in a fly's eye, and that like he breaks down scientifically like how it is not a person yet, and that's just like saying, you know a guy ejaculating, that that's an abortion. So the fact that that's not being regulated is it's ridiculous. So it's like essentially the same thing. But I agree, and I think, listen, just when it comes down to it, it's just every woman should have the right to do whatever she wants with her body. That's it. Now, I've always considered myself pro-choice. Always. I had a moment where when I was younger and I was like, you know, I think I might be pregnant. And for a moment, I was like, well, I can't personally do that. Like, I think I really want to have this baby if it's a baby, whatever. So I think we need to be able to change our fucking mind. Like, we need to be able to do whatever we want with our body. So, I mean, otherwise you have, you know, situations like Dirty Dancing happening and, you know, like there's, you know, back alley abortions or, you know, like just sickening things can happen. Sickening things happen when you take away rights from women. That's just what
I mean. That is very true. I still think though, at a certain point, it goes from being just a woman's body to two bodies, but it's very tricky, but I do way. So
and I see. Yet, yeah, no, I do.
Don't know. These are topics that I think just need to still be talked about. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not looking even now for us to come up with like an exact answer because.
No, we should really settle this once and for all for mankind.
Well, Carly, it's on us. Carly Wolf 2020. You know what I mean? we gotta figure out where we stand.
Keep it spicy 2020.
Yeah. Mango lightning, spicy. But I think the more people can also keep an open-ended answer. Like, it's a lot of these things are so fluid and we're allowed to evolve and steep in, you know, an answer, not even an answer, in a question. You know, you can keep that question moving of like, just morality in general is an interesting thing, you know, of how much death do we want to prevent? We don't even have the time to go into that. But because even animal rights, you know, I was vegetarian for like over 20 years and
I was 15, vegan veg. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, and I used to be a big like meat is murder person. And
right.
I've started to eat some meat. Yeah.
Same. Yeah. Same. I didn't know that. Yeah. But then like there's just, you evolve in a way where like I actually got a really bad health. I had some really poor health because I went vegan veg for 15 years. And I found out later like that's more than likely what caused it. I ended up getting what they think is, you know, the blanket statement of fibromyalgia. Now I'm just like, okay, well, if I have to eat meat for the benefit of my body, like I'm going to do that, but I'm also going to make my vote matter. You know, basically the only vote that, you know, not the only one, but like a very big vote that matters is what you buy. So I'm like, I buy from a local butcher shop that's organic and grass fed and helps local farms. But like, yeah, there is a point where you just have to like adjust as much as morally, you know, beneficial as possible. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
So what made you go back to eating meat?
Very similar. So I had not eaten meat in over 20 years and my body was having certain deficiencies and I just finally listened to those cravings and I felt so bad about it and guilty at first. I still have pangs, you know.
Yeah.
And my son's still vegetarian. He's been vegetarian his whole life. My ex-husband is vegetarian. So, you know, when I eat meat around my son, I can feel, you know, pain around it. And it bothers me because I love that he's vegetarian and he doesn't feel the deficiencies. So
what's your blood type? Just curious.
I believe I'm A negative.
A negative. Okay. Because I know if you ever look into like Eat Right for your blood type, they say like we just digest things differently based on our blood type, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, go on. Sorry.
You know, it was just the same thing as my body was desperately craving it. And I'm one of the biggest things I say is you have to listen to your body. And I know I'm a good person. I try to be a good person all the time. And it broke my heart in many ways to start eating meat again.
You're a great person.
So are you. So yeah, I just, I had to listen. My body was failing a little bit just eating vegetarian. Mm-hmm. So
I did. Well, good for you for listening to it. I know a few people that were veg for a really long time and they went back and they're just like, listen, I eat like, and I, even now I only eat meat like maybe once a week and it's all organic and it's like,
awesome.
Yeah. But the cravings never stopped and they never went away. It was 15 years of God, I just want a steak. Like, it's so wild. Yeah.
My cravings did go away and then they came in hard a couple years ago. And, I have to say, like, I still am mostly vegetarian. Most of my meals are veg, but I do also have meat in my diet. And right now,
you feel better.
I do. I do.
It's good to know what it's like to be like on the other side, like the asshole on the other side, where like I've been that dick vegan that's been like, you guys don't even get it. And then also I've been that dick that like defended Hillary to these people who didn't like her, and I've been like, you don't even get it, like for years campaigning, and like, and then being on the other side and watching everybody else do this shit, and I'm like, no, you don't get it. Like, I get it.
I know. And
I get it more than you get it, but I still don't get much. Yeah, it's just interesting.
It's cool to be fluid, you know.
Yeah,
like, I went from atheist to agnostic to super spiritual, like.
Yeah,
you know, we're just changing, you know.
I went from very like atheist, and then all of a sudden a shroom trip just changed my life.
Me too.
Holy shit. there's something up there. No, yeah, it's being allowed to change. That humility is essential. Like, if you're, I mean, if you're not busy, you know, growing, you're dying. So, like, that makes just sense. Allowing yourself to change, evolve, forgive, and just honor whatever it was that maybe was wrong or right, as long as it got you here. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I love how similar. I didn't realize. I love that our path has a lot of similarities. I mean, it makes sense, but
that's why we're vibing. Yeah.
We're like so vibing right now.
This is hot.
We're hot like mango lightning.
He's passed out finally. he's knackered.
I'm gonna have to, when I promote this, I'm gonna have to include some mango lightning pictures. Obviously.
Please, yes, we do the before and after shot because he just got a buzz cut, so he's the fluffy, and now he's like, he looks like a, he's not, bless his heart, he's not as, I guess he's not as approachable or cute now because he doesn't get as many pets. Uh-huh. At the pet dog park, everybody would pet him, and now he's like shaved down, so nobody pets him anymore. I feel so bad, but he doesn't care. He doesn't really like it.
Well, I'll have to check out the new pictures, and I'll include them when I post, as well as pics of you. But where can people find you, find your music, the whole thing?
So Timing is streaming on Amazon Prime, and you can find our music, Lady Lightning, anywhere, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, wherever you listen, you can find Lady Lightning. And Instagram and Facebook is Lady Lightning Music. So we got some new stuff coming out, and we'll do some live stream shows. And if life ever gets back to normal, we'll be back into doing So Far Sound shows and the full band again. But yeah, until then, go ahead and stream the music. It's a good Jimmy jam. I tell people if they're just bored at the gym and they need some juiced up, it can pump you up a little bit. But yeah, that's about it. That's out. That's all. Oh, and at Lady, you what?
Instagram.
At Lady Lightning Music, or at Gracie Carly, GRACICARLI. And then, God, I've got a dog. I've got my dog's Instagram, Sir Mango Lightning. This is annoying. You know what? I forgive everybody who's not interested anymore. Just in any of these. I get it. It's one too many.
I like it. I like them all.
Thanks, girl.
And let's see, for me at the Kate Wolf. And then I have my first live comedy show August 30th. It's going to be social distance. It's in Maple Glen, Pennsylvania at Brick and Barrel. Tickets are available online, so you can find it like on my Facebook account. I'll be promoting it on Instagram and stuff, but that's August 30th. I'm co-headlining with another great comic, Mark Riccadonna, and then my friend Carl's doing his first 5 minutes ever of comedy, so that's exciting.
Oh, wow. Not even an, oh, right, because there's no, like, open mics going on.
He's also the owner of the restaurant, so it's,
oh, wow.
Yes. I've known him since high school, and he's hilarious, so I'm excited to see. He said he's going to do a bit on me from high school real quick. I was like, what the fuck are you going to do? I'm real nervous. But we'll see. He's like, it's
going
nothing.
Deep.
I'm like, I will cry. I will cry.
Well, congrats on your first show back. That's really exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, it's an outside one. And then let's see. Oh, for healing, kwolf27@gmail.com. And thank you so much, Gracie.
Thank you.
Through the podcast. I love it.
I adore you.
I adore you too. Well, we're definitely going to hang once all this is over.
Yeah, we're going to have a premiere party. Even though the movie will have been out for like a year, we're still going to get together.
That is going to be how it is. Because Anderson's like, he's not sure right now. I mean, Corona's, he wants to have it in New York City. And New York City's still one of the strictest places, which makes sense. So one of these days. Well. Yeah.
It will make it happen.
Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks, girl.
You're awesome. And thank you all for listening. Bye.